First thing will be the approval agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, we have no recommended changes to today's agenda.
I have a question. Did the groundhog see his shadow or didn't he?
Chip said he did not.
He did not?
He said he did not.
Thank you, Greg.
Chip said.
That must be a good thing.
Supposedly. Motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett, second.
Second.
Mrs. Deaver, question on the motion. Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. We had the minutes of January 26th. Any concerns, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have one letter, and it's from Union United Methodist Church in Bridgeville, and it's signed by George F. Hardesty Jr., thanking the county for the canned goods and the items given to the community food pantry. And that is all.
Thank you. Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council.
Now, I get it through the website. I just answer it back in emails, but I guess you really are looking for any kind of correspondence. You're not looking for hard copies, an email?
Any kind you got.
Okay. So if I have email that I would like everybody to have, I will copy it and bring it with me. Thank you.
Anything on there?
Yes, sir.
Janet Ambrose.
Good morning. My name is Janet Ambrose, and I'm speaking this morning on behalf of the League of Women Voters of Sussex County. I'm going to just present a prepared statement by our Board of Directors. During the council meetings of January 12th and 26th, 35 requests for time extensions for land use applications were presented and voted upon by the council in accordance with the recently approved Ordinance Number 2288. No materials in respect to these requests were made available to the public before the council meetings. During the proceedings, council members had access to material to which they referred upon when voting upon these requests. The public had no access to any of this material. The names of the projects were not even made available to the public in advance, making it impossible to research any information about the projects being voted upon. In the interest of transparency and full disclosure of matters before the council, we believe that information regarding these projects should have been made available to the public prior to each of these meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Lawson, Administrator's Report.
Thank you. This is the Administrator's Report for February 2nd, 2016. Item number one, the Attorney General's Common Interest Community Ombudsman Office will host a joint public meeting to seek public input on issues affecting common interest communities in Sussex County. The meeting will take place on Saturday, February 6th at 10 a.m. at the Sussex County Association of Realtors office located at 23407 Park Avenue in Georgetown. A copy of their agenda is attached. Item two, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, Family Entertainment Center and Lewis Crossing, otherwise known as Deep Valley Farm, offsite sanitary sewer, Beaver Dam Road, received substantial completion effective January 27th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. As you're aware, the Sussex County purchases bulk water from the city of Rehoboth Beach to distribute to its customers in Dewey Beach. Due to the expiration of the previous agreement, the engineering and finance departments are requesting your approval to enter into a new agreement with the city of Rehoboth Beach for the purchase of bulk water. In your packet was the agreement with the recommended changes. All changes were made for clarification purposes only. These changes have been reviewed by the county's attorney, the county engineer, the county finance director, and the city of Rehoboth Beach. As in previous agreement, the contract will be for 4 years, with the rates will increase 6 cents per 1,000 gallons per year. This agreement will be paid using the service charges collected by the Dewey Water customers. This increase, if not absorbed by the other areas of the water budget, will equate to about $4 a year per equivalent dwelling unit. I have reviewed the City of Rehoboth Beach's financial statements and verified that these charges are in line with the expenses incurred by the Water Enterprise Fund. And I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council enter into agreement with the City of Rehoboth Beach to purchase water from the city to supply users within the Dewey Beach Water District. The agreement shall be for a period of 4 years, terminating on December 31st, 2020.
I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions?
Is that something we do every year? Is anything different, major, any major changes?
No major changes, and we renew it every 4 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've been doing it for how many years? Many, many years.
It's not as many as you've been here.
No, many years. How much a year was it?
It's going to increase. It's based off, it's 6 cents increase per year for 1,000 gallons. We pay about $530,000 a year for the contract. That's what you're...
But we charge the users.
We charge the users for it.
So we end up...
Getting it back.
We don't lose money, correct?
No, it just goes back to...
Just to water.
Pass through problem.
Right.
Okay.
Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arnett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'm against motion carried. Thank you, ma'am. Well, we're not quite there yet. Let's move on the agenda to grant requests so we can get those done before our 10:15 public hearing.
Okay. The first grant for your consideration is the Greater Lewis Foundation. They are requesting $500 to sustain the Children's Learning Garden in Lewis. Besides harvesting vegetables and fruit, they are conducting storytelling, arts and crafts, music, cooking, and exercise classes. Last grant received was $500 from Ms. Deaver.
I gave them a healthy start, and I do believe $500 at this time would be perfect for my account to come out.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Love it when the kids know a little bit about where the vegetables are coming from.
Good point. Have a motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Grant $500 from Mrs. Deaver's Council Bank account to the Greater Lewis Foundation for the Children's Learning Garden. Any questions? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arnett.
I will vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
We have a motion carried. Next.
Okay. The next one is Girl Scouts of the Chesapeake Bay requesting support to offset the cost of $1,600 for a bus to and from the Philadelphia airport. 15 Girl Scouts from Unit 30 are taking a trip to visit two Girl Scout Girl Guide World Tours centers. 10 of the 15 are from Sussex County High Schools. There have been no past grants to this unit of Girl Scouts. Since the students attend Cape and Lopin, Sussex Academy, Laurel, Woodbridge, Sussex Central, this request would qualify for a countywide youth grant.
I agree.
And they're requesting how much?
They're requesting
$1,600. I don't have that information. I'm sorry, Mr. President.
Go ahead.
What's the percent, if you would, of coming from Sussex regarding this?
So if you were to take that $1,600 and do the percentage, it would be $1,000.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Pleasure, Council.
Is there any...
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, is there any recommendation to make it anything different than the $1,600?
I would...
Well,
if anything, I would suggest nothing more than $1,000 based on...
Percentage
based on the percent of coming from Sussex.
Yeah. All right, second that.
Yeah. Okay. Is that motion, Mr. Arlett?
Well, I guess it will be.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Arlett, second, Mr. Cole, to grant $1,000 to the Girl Scouts of Chesapeake Bay Council for Unit 30's expenses.
I do, actually, because, it's relevant.
Fine.
So, because this is going to a larger umbrella, correct? This is not going specific to, it's going to a larger umbrella, the Chesapeake
sense.
Council.
It's, right, well, the larger umbrella is because that's the nonprofit that accounts for their funds, but it specifically goes to those 15 high school students to travel for their bus.
Okay, and I guess, is there any accountability on that? I know that they have to agree to something, but I mean, is there any way for us to follow up and follow through to ensure these dollars are going specifically for that?
We can always ask for receipts or, you know, to make sure that they went on their trip.
I wouldn't mind.
We can do that.
You know, it's not so much for the trip, but I mean, I have no financial disclosure of how well they're doing or not doing, and the reality is, do they need the money? I mean, I don't know.
Well, absolutely.
But I mean, or is it really going for what they're requesting it to be for? And we have no way of knowing that for sure.
I would love to investigate it. As a former Brownie Troop leader, I would be happy to investigate that because our women, I think, need this support.
Sure. Well, I'm not saying they don't need the support. I agree with that.
This support.
Yeah.
Any more questions?
No. Where are we? $1,000.
$1,000 out of the youth.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Okay.
We'll take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arnett.
I will say yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Obviously, motion carried. We're now at 10:15. We'll back up for our public hearing for Community Development Block Grant. Step down, Mr. Whaley. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Council.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to thank the Council for allowing us to hold a public hearing today. Our office applies for and administers a community development block grant or CDBG program for Sussex County. We assist the towns and cities as well as rural communities and scattered sites. This funding is allocated by Congress to HUD, and in our case, it comes down, Kent and Sussex counties aren't big enough to request funding directly from HUD. So in our case, the Housing Authority applies for the funding, and then Kent and Sussex County apply for that funding on a competitive basis. So the main purpose of this funding is housing-related issues. And the main reason we hold a public hearing, we're in the process of putting the applications together, and this gives the public a chance to have an input on our upcoming application. Can you go? In order to try to improve that a little bit, the last couple of years we've actually had a separate citizens participation forum, and we do this out at the West Complex. We advertise it. We invite people out. We've had pretty good turnouts. It gives us a chance to go in a little bit more detail of the program and a little bit of explanation of why we're doing what we're doing. Like I said, again, the main reason is just to get as much as public input as we can. Gene, go ahead. As you can see, this is a considerable amount of funding in CDBG and home funding. We've received $6.8 million over the last 5 years, and we've been able to assist 828 households and 1,307 residents. These include housing rehabilitations, demolition, infrastructure projects, and sewer and water hookups. Okay. This is the funding levels we've been able to track over the past. This is actually a six-year look, so you'll be able to see where the funding's been going. We really start this process back in October. We send letters out to the towns, and then we go hold public hearings in all these communities. And this is the funding level that the towns have received over the past 6 years, since back to 2009. And the next slide will show their scattered and rural site funding over the same time period. So as you can see, a little bit over $2.7 million has been used for housing rehab in just scattered sites. Hookups, $368,000, and we primarily use that funding when the county's running a new sewer district to help residents hook up to that. We have done quite a bit of demolition and emergency housing repair. And on the right-hand side, you can see the rural communities that we've targeted: Cool Springs, Coverdale, Mount Joy, Pontown, rural Allendale, right on down Lincoln, West Rehoboth. We've worked in all those communities over the years. If we go to the next slide. We kind of always work in a three-year cycle. So we just finished up the 2014 year. We're working now on the 2015 year funding, and we're getting our application ready for the 2016 year. So the funding, the year that we just finished in September, is the 2014 year, and you can see the results. We received over $1.5 million in CDBG and home funding, and we were able to assist 230 households. Of those households, 85% had incomes below 50% AMI, and then half of those had incomes even lower at 30%. 70% of the households were elderly occupied, 57% had disabilities, 63% were female head of household, and the majority were minorities. The last sentence on that slide, we're required to check, verify Section 3 and women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses, and veteran-owned business designations. So most of the funding that we use assists one of those three. Section 3, it just says that the workers for the contractors that we hire, we actually check their income, and if they're in the low to moderate range, that counts as a Section 3. So it shows that the money's helping on both sides. It's helping the homeowner, it's helping the contractor, it's helping the workers, and it's helping the suppliers. The current program says this is pretty much what we received for 2015. Bridgeville received $70,000, Delmar 64, right on down Georgetown, Seaford, Cool Springs, Coverdale, and these are the completion levels that we are on all those projects. So for this time of year, we're pretty much on track. We get a little backed up with weather, snow, and this sort of thing at this time of year, but we're pretty much on track. And the next slide is how we're doing on the scattered site. So we're pretty close to done we're completely done with the demolition, hookup, scattered site rehab. We're pretty good. The emergency rehab, we're pretty much almost all that's completed. Now, the home fund was our biggest single fund at $500,000, and we're still in the process. We have bid packages every month. We're processing about anywhere from 12 to 20 houses a month to get those houses repaired. Let's go to the next slide. Mike Jones manages our housing rehab, and Guillermo Montavo, he also does assist quite a bit with them. We're just going to show you some updates that we've been able to do. This is the Coverdale area before our rehab, and that's with the rehab completed. The next one is in the Pinetown area, and that's the front of the house, and you'll see the back of the house next, and then you'll see the completed front of the house. This lady actually needed a handicap ramp and the back of the house, too. And we also, it was kind of interesting because when Mike went there, this house was overgrown. It was an elderly lady living by herself, and he talked with Prentice Perry, who's a community leader down there, and said, can you guys help us out and clean this up? And he got some of the local guys, and they really did clean it up and cleaned all the brush back so we could get to it. The next one's a house in Laurel. The interesting thing about this is you'll actually see the seasons change. That's the after picture. So thank you. Mike does a great, and G both do a very good job with our housing rehab. Let's go to the next slide.
He doesn't shovel the walks?
He didn't. I don't think he would if we asked him to.
There wasn't funding for that?
No, we don't have yard work funding, but we get a lot of questions about that, a lot of questions about trees. But in order to qualify, these are the income guidelines. With CDBG, the income guidelines are the 80% of area medium income, so that's the bottom line. So a single person household has to earn less than $35,500, and then it goes up about $5,000 per household member. But I put the 50% line above that because really 85% of the people we're helping are below that upper line. There are some other qualifications. It must be a homeowner-occupied property. The home must be insured or insurable. The taxes must be current. And they must agree to a lien that we place on the property to secure that funding. When we do a rehab project, if they're over 62, we put a 5-year lien to protect this property, and it's a non-interest-bearing prorated lien, so every year 20% comes off of what they would have to repay if they sold it. If they're under 62, it's a 10-year lien, and it works in the very same manner. So this year we have met with our a little bit of background. Nicole Riddick and I, we attend probably 10 or 12 of the Strong Community meetings. I am on First State Board of Directors meetings, so I meet with them quite a bit. And then Dale McDowell's on the Milford Housing Board. We're putting together the application for the upcoming year. Now, we've held public hearings in all of these towns, and this is the request. This year it was all rehabilitation. The size differentials between the 80 and the 105 and the 115 are really just the sizes, the number of houses we have on that waiting list. So in Blades, we may be asking to do 4 houses at $15,000, and in Bridgeville, we're asking to do 8 houses at that amount of money. So now with the rule, the next slide is going to show you our rule request. And this comes, I met a couple weeks ago with our advisory council. We have a very good advisory council. We have Pastor Kim Teppelbach from Dagsville Church of God. We have Reverend Claudia Waters from the Clarksville area. Sherita Bell, who's a Laurel resident and a county employee. And then Bernice Edwards, who's the director of First State Community Action. We've also worked with a Sussex Housing Group some. And we kind of partner with them on the Pinetown area. So they're doing some things that we haven't been able to help with, which is some of the yard cleanup and that sort of thing. So this is what we're proposing to ask for in this current grant application. All right, Gee, let's
no, go. None of that has to do with another job that we have for Pinetown is putting in some street lights. That's not
it's separate. It's completely
that's totally
separate
money.
Completely okay. Separate funding. Yeah, yeah. And we've assisted with that. We've gone to the meetings with the Pinetown Lighting District.
Okay, thank you. That's
sure, absolutely. Let's go. This is the total funding request, and there's only about $2 million, maybe $2.5 million available for Kent and Sussex, and you can see our request is over that. So what the Housing Authority will do, they'll pull the applications apart, and they'll score them, and they'll grade them competitively. So it could be Seaford versus Smyrna to see, you know, how that goes. Let's go to the next slide. Also, the county council has given us some emergency rehab funding that we've used over the years, and you'll see the funding levels that we've received, and you'll also see that how the completion levels are. This year, that we received $100,000, and we're pretty much have exhausted that, and we've been able to assist 51 households. We use this primarily to for emergency issues, no water, no heat, and handicap accessibilities. We try to prioritize it to individuals with disabilities, individuals that are over the age of 65, and extremely low household incomes, and veterans. If they come to us, we have people that bring veterans that need assistance. Really, the last thing I'd like to say is that we do a lot of, I meet with a lot of mayors and a lot of town council over the years, and they really appreciate this funding, and they understand what a valuable source it is, and they always ask me to thank council for the efforts and the support they've given us over the years. Anyone have any questions or comments?
Yeah, just to, maybe just for educating us a little bit more, on when you have these older manufactured homes, mm-hmm. which many of them have really no value in the marketplace, how do you address those when you get a request for a manufactured home?
It has no value. Well, in many cases, it's the only place that family has to live. So what we're required to do is to, we guarantee, we certify that it'll last the time of the lien. So many times it's a 5-year lien. And as you can see from what we did, we've completely weatherized it. We've taken care of the inside. So it does provide a living unit for another, 10 to 15 years.
But for years, they didn't qualify, right? And now they've just qualified?
Yeah, well, no, they've always qualified, but they had a restriction of how much funding we could use. And it started out at 12, and then it went to 17.5, and now it's just the same as a regular house. We can go as high as $25,000 to rehab the house if we need to. We rarely go that high, but ability.
It just seems like it'd probably be better to take $25,000 and move the people to someplace or buy a new unit.
We've looked into it, and it's
buy
just
a new unit pretty cheap out there.
Well, we've looked into it.
I'm just saying, you look at Sussex Guide or something like that, and you'll see a lot of used manufactured homes for very reasonably priced.
We have, but
if you put $25,000 in one, it's about to fall apart. When you bring one in, it's newer, maybe update it for less.
We have done that.
Okay, you can do that.
We can do that. We moved one last year out of Swan Keys. A lot of times they're older. They're like Swan Keys, it was probably 25, 30 years old. So we do. It's kind of expensive to move, set up, foundation system. That kind of adds to it. So, but we're open to it.
More questions?
I have a question, Mr. President. Overall, I remember when federal money that came in was double that. You say they decide all along your report, and I kind of my ears perk up. Who decides?
The Delaware State Housing Authority administers the program. We'll apply to them, and then they'll form a review committee. So they'll basically pull these applications apart, and they'll ride through the communities, and they'll look at the houses, and they'll score each application.
Good.
So some will score higher.
How they base it. Good, right. Okay.
Some communities will score higher just because of the condition of the community or the size of the community.
That's my concern.
Yeah. It's very competitive.
Good.
Any more questions?
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Right.
Just I'm referencing the page 5 of our, in our package here. Mm-hmm. Down at the very bottom, I'm a little confused on the funding here, and hopefully you can. First off, thank you for being here. I think it's important for us to give where it's most needed in our communities, mm-hmm. and so we do appreciate you for being here for that. But regarding this. I'm still confused a little bit. So $2.1 million, or $2.116 million to be exact, mm-hmm. or how much of that is coming from our tax dollars, meaning the county residents, versus that of the feds through the housing?
That's all federal.
It is all federal. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was the part that I was
exactly.
a little.
What we're required to do is there's a certain administration allowance in this, and the county has to agree to match at least the administration portion.
Gotcha. Which is what I'm seeing there under the administration salaries, and now those salaries, I assume is that for our staff?
Yes.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
Okay. So that's I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
We have a 5-person staff.
Guillermo. Thank you for that. And then last question is on the demolition. I know Councilman Cole referenced the rehab part, but I know I saw in here that some of them are demolition.
Yes.
So could you share a little bit about that, and, mm-hmm. and under what conditions will you demo, and then what happens at that point? Because I assume we're not putting another structure on, or are we?
Well, no, we're not putting another structure on. When we do demolitions, they come to us either through the towns, and some of the towns are requesting this that I'm going to address. And then some are just, we've been in the Coverdale community or the Pinetown community, and we know of a property that needs, it's burnt out or it needs to be demolished. The tricky part is to find an owner of that property that will agree to allow us to demo that, do the demolition. When we do a demolition, we put a permanent lien. So if it costs us $3,500, that lien goes and stays with that property until that property is sold. We have worked with Habitat recently, so we've done some demolitions, and then Habitat will come behind us. After we've done with our part, if we put a permanently affordable housing, like a Milford Housing House or a Habitat house, then we can forgive that lien. So if Habitat comes behind us and builds on that lot, then we just forgive the lien. If the lot's sold outright, that money comes back to us always, and we use it right back over again in the community that it came from. So if the demolition funding came from Laurel, we would apply it back to Laurel.
So, and then who's doing the demolition? Is it a commercial company is coming with a bulldozer and just literally demos the property?
Yeah. We follow the county procurement policy on all of our jobs. We hold bid meetings every month. We go out. Basically, what we're doing is we're going out doing an inspection, writing a set of specifications. We want these repairs done, whether it's repairs or demolition. We then hold a bid meeting. Contractors come in and they bid on this work, and that's exactly how all of it is.
One last question, and I apologize, but this topic is nothing new for this county, mm-hmm. and there's a lot. We think we all got an email this week, as a matter of fact, regarding a concern from a local resident about dilapidated buildings, mm-hmm. and old buildings, and they just really need to get torn down, and they're mm-hmm. perhaps a public safety issue, perhaps they are a fire issue, perhaps there's a property value issue because they pulled down the surrounding property values. Mm-hmm. And I recall even before I got elected, this was a topic that somehow ended up in the media. But the idea was to reach out to our fire departments because they volunteer and they need training. Mm-hmm. And as to my knowledge, I was told that the state fire marshal puts a limitation, maybe you can, on that, whereas they're not allowed to do anything beyond, I think, maybe two a year or some number.
Most of the requirements come from DENREC.
Yes,
DENREC.
It's to do with the air pollution.
Air quality,
right. And you've got to do a lot of work to structures to have any kind of training or anything in. Mm-hmm. You got asbestos shingles, you got to remove them. There's a lot that you got to do as a property owner. Most of them don't want to fool with it. So.
Right.
And it's a complicated environmental process. We, in the past, I've been with the county for 20 years, and we could.
As long as George Gold.
That's true. But in the past, we could get the local. I know we did in the Lucas development one time. We had demo funding, and we probably had the fire company, Milton Fire Company, probably burn five or six properties, and that made it much cheaper. We were basically just cleaning it up. But then with the new regulations, a lot of them didn't even want to touch it at first, and now
fire companies used to burn houses. Oh my God, on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how we could even change that, but the reality is we're not Newcastle County, and so I don't know if there's different limitations or different variables for here versus up there. But if they would allow for us as a community to make the decisions at the local level, for the benefit of many and save some other monies, right? We're talking about saving some dollars, tax dollars, to perhaps shift to a rehab versus mm-hmm. a demo. More experience, more training for the fire guys. Why couldn't we do that?
I agree. It's really just an environmental, as Mr. Vincent said. The tricky part.
Well,
is
so perceived it is. They say it is.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Probably because Newcastle County has the air quality problems. We're not allowed to do it in the entire state. But maybe we ought to let Newcastle County fire companies come down and burn up some of our houses.
There you are.
We'll give them training, and they would all lobby for it, and we'd get it passed.
Anything else, Charlotte?
No, just thank you so much.
Sure,
appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Quick one for Mr. Todd down there. We've got a big list on these houses. We got 1,000. We just nip at the edges of this problem, and it's been that way for years. And the county portion of our additional funding, I think you showed up there on the thing, has varied over the years. Do you have any ideas at this point on where or is there any intention to, in this upcoming budget, which you'll be starting work on very shortly?
Everybody loves it.
That we'll have some additional funding for this problem, because it is a major, major problem.
We would certainly look from the council's perspective and see what your direction would be. And if we want additional funding from the county, we would budget that. It certainly does ebb and flow based on the budget constraints. Mm-hmm. If this is a priority that the council chooses for us to take on this year, then we can allocate more money. There's also a threshold of putting more money in the budget, and then also how much Brad's office can actually accomplish. Mm-hmm. In other words, to exaggerate, to make the point, we couldn't give him $1 million with the staffing level that he has right now, because he couldn't get to all the work that's out there. Mm-hmm. With that staffing level. So
Well, my recommendation is maybe the staff should recommend to us that you think this would be a comfort level that you could live with as a staff, as opposed to waiting to hear from us.
I'd love
to see something, you know, this year.
Based on that feedback, we will make a recommendation this year.
Is there any complaint from anybody that we shouldn't, again, fund it with some local funds?
I get complaints in the other direction that we don't do. So I'm going to take this report and hand it out to folks. It's a great report.
Right, but that's mostly federal money. What I'm suggesting is we use some local monies to help with this effort.
Which we did.
Yes.
It's up and down, Mike.
Sure. No, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying we use some local money, but yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Anything else from council? Well, I guess we've got to have a public hearing.
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes. Is there anyone here that would like to comment on this matter? Is there anyone here that would like to speak on this matter? Mr. President, I do not see anyone coming forward, so you can close the public hearing on this matter. And if there's a motion, it'd be appropriate to hear that now.
Close the public hearing and close public comment. And Mr. Whaley, you have a motion.
Thank you. Yes, I do. I have two resolutions, if I could. The first one's a fair housing resolution. Whereas Sussex County recognizes the importance of fair housing for citizens of Sussex County, and whereas the Sussex County Council supports the goal of state and federal fair housing laws, now, therefore, be it resolved that Sussex County Council heartily encourages all parties involved in the renting, selling, financing of housing in Sussex County to ensure that no person shall, on the grounds of race, color, national origin, religion, handicap, disability, creed, sex, marital status, familiar status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity be discriminated against or denied a fair and equal opportunity for housing, and be it further resolved that Sussex County Council, when acting as an administrator of the CDBG program, is hereby authorized to take such actions as deemed necessary to affirmatively further fair housing in connection with applying for the Community Development Block Grant funding.
I'll make it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Arlett. To drop the resolution. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the motion. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes. Good job.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Next one is the authorization to submit applications. Be it known that Sussex County Council resolved to apply for community development funds from the Delaware State Housing Authority in accordance with the appropriate regulations governing community development block grants for the State of Delaware Community Development Block Grant Program. And whereas the County Administrator Todd F. Lawson is hereby authorized to certify that matching funds in excess of $164,000 will be made available upon the approval by the Delaware State Housing Authority. Be it further resolved that by the County Council that Todd F. Lawson, County Administrator, is hereby authorized to submit the financial year 2016 Community Development Block Grant applications with all understandings and certifications contained therein to the Delaware State Housing Authority.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, second. Mr. Cole, second. Mrs. Deaver. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I have a yes.
This is last year's application. I just wanted to give you an idea of what it's probably a 700-page document when we're done with it. I meant to mention it during the presentation, but
give that Mr. Arlett, and he could study.
Brad, on behalf of council, thank you and all your staff for all the hard work you do for our citizens. It's certainly appreciated. There are certainly people out there that need that help. And thank you for all you guys do.
Thank you.
Pass it along to your staff, please.
Thank you for your support. Yeah.
Thank you.
I came from the feds.
That's Blank. That's old business. That's old.